All right, folks. I'm giving the hand motion that the hometown quarterback does to settle everybody down, because it is that time on a Thursday when we crank it up. Ow! Get our view from the north. He's doing his thing for NBC Sports Northwest. He's going to venture full-time into radio. Talking Ducks on Comcast Channel 737, talking ball, podcasting with that network TV star Bree Amaranthus on Twitter. It's at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how's it going?
I get exhausted every time you list the things I do. It's insane.
I was just going to say, with this new full-time gig, did you clear this with your wife and family? Are they okay with this?
I don't think they will be come the summertime, because summertime is my chill time, right? So
right.
Now I'm going to be stuck in a radio booth for 3 hours, and then we have a new TV show I can't talk too much about yet in February that I'm going to be doing as well. So yeah, it's crazy.
You remember when Dick Vermeil was coach of the Eagles and he just broke down in tears and had to walk away from the game?
That's going to be me.
That's
going to
be
August.
You, July 4th weekend. All right, well, I wish you luck and good health, my friend. But as somebody who gets so embedded with Duck football, you're like a war correspondent. So, you know, now that the coaching search is over, the season's in the rearview mirror, what's at the front of the Fentress mind sports-wise these days?
Oh, man. Just gearing up for these different things with the radio show and the TV show. I mean, I guess I've been, obviously I follow the NFL closely, and I'm starting to get back into the NBA. You don't get big into the NBA until after football season.
Right.
It's just, you know, nothing really heats up till then. So I'm starting to pay closer attention to that. And, you know, recruiting, you know, signing day is coming up. The real signing day is coming up soon. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Ducks there. I actually spent an hour with Cristobal on Friday. We've been breaking that up into parts. That'll be airing on Talking Ducks, first part aired the other night. So that's pretty much been what I've been up to.
All right. So I love what you threw out on Facebook. We're at the 30-year anniversary of Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror off Bad. On Facebook, you noted the 84 victory tour. One of my biggest regrets, he played 5 days in New York. I was out of town and turned down an opportunity. But you made a claim, not Elvis, not Beatles, not Madonna. At that moment, Michael Jackson, the biggest star in the history of the planet. Why?
Why?
Yeah.
So in 1983-84, which was the reign of Thriller.
Right.
He was in the process of the biggest selling album of all time. He was in the process of the most top 10 singles from an album of all time with 7, which shattered the previous record of 4. By one person in 5 by a soundtrack, a Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. That was the really when video started kicking in. Videos had started a couple years before Thriller came out.
Yep.
He took it to a whole different level. He completely reinvented MTV and made it really what it was, sent it where it wanted to go, because his videos were so much better than everyone else's. And plus, he had the biggest grossing tour of all time. And he, like I said, he just shattered every imaginable record in terms of popularity, and then he goes and wins 8 Grammys and 8 music awards, American Music Awards. It was the greatest 2-year run anyone's ever had, and he was the biggest thing ever. And obviously, he sustained it for a long time, but at that was the peak, 83-84.
Well, I wasn't disagreeing. I just wanted to hear you make your case.
Which you knew I would.
I knew. all right, we mentioned the NBA. You know, we've been watching guys going into other teams' locker rooms, players going at it with coaches,
yeah,
suspensions, players calling out refs. You know, we've been talking about this. Are things escalating, or is it guys know they're on camera, they don't like looking bad, or is it every game is on, 100 different camera angles, and we just see everything that happens?
I think it's more of that, and the social media aspect might push people to be a little bit more like, I got to save face, or, you know, that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
I mean, you and I remember the Pistons and Bulls, I mean, and the Knicks and Lakers and Celtics shoving each other around, and you know, you would hear stories about things that maybe went on or didn't go on behind the scenes, but it just wasn't covered the same way, and it wasn't everywhere. I mean, we're in an age, sometimes I go on my Twitter, and I'll see my Twitter mention, or not mentions,
notifications.
Trendings,
okay.
And it'll be something like, so-and-so said something, and everyone's reacting to it. And you click on it, and it's like a bunch of people complaining because they didn't like the way someone tweeted something. You should use this word, not that word. When you use this word, you compromise and marginalize this and that. And you can totally tell people are just misinterpreting and taking things in the wrong direction. This happens in sports as well. Everyone gets their, you know, their underwear in a bunch and want to whine and complain and act like they've been offended. You have this outrage, and it just spills over into nonsensical nonsense. And then everyone pays attention to it and talks about it. And then people tweet it and retweet it, and you have to save face and blah, blah, blah. And it just becomes crazy. But I don't think it's necessarily any more beef now than there was in the past. It's just magnified.
Yeah, I've always said that filling the 24/7 cycle, it's not always with quality. Sometimes it's fill. Talk with Aaron Fentress, NBC Sports Northwest. So during the offseason, the Rockets, you know, they made the big move bringing in Chris Paul. Last year, they brought in Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon. They get Harden back tonight. They're within 5 games of Golden State in the standings. Defensively, though, it's still a Mike D'Antonio team. How legit do you think they are to challenge the Warriors in a series if it comes down to those two in the West?
Well, the last time I saw James Harden in the big game, he completely disappeared. Remember that last year?
Yeah.
The biggest choke job by a star player probably in the history of the planet. More hyperbole for you. So until I see him show up, you know, on the big stage with everything on the line, I'm not going to buy he's going to win any big series, let alone one against the Warriors. Clearly, the team's fun. They're a good regular season team to watch. They can pretty much handle most teams in the NBA, but the Warriors are on a completely different level that, unfortunately, I don't think anyone in the NBA can touch until someone gets injured. I hate to say it, but getting Durant was completely unfair, and I don't see them coming close to losing. No one's going to take them 7, I know that. Someone might get lucky and get hot, steal one or two in a series, force them to 6 maybe, but I don't think they even go 7, so no. Houston has no shot.
So for those who are wondering what he's talking about, it's the end game of the San Antonio series last year when he went 2 of 11, and I think they lost 184-11.
Did you see some of the turnovers he had in that game?
No, I remember that game. He had 6 or 7 turnovers. He had three times as many turnovers as buckets.
It almost looked like he was having an out-of-body experience and didn't, like, it was almost like Space Jam, like someone sucked the stardom out of him. I'm serious. He became an average schmo in James Harden's body. That's what it looked like.
All right. Well, not going to get a lot of debate as far as the numbers there. let's get to football. So Oregon next year, and obviously before they hired Willie Taggart, a lot of people hoped Kelly would return. Then a month ago, it was, well, is Kevin Sumlin going to replace Taggart? So in back-to-back weeks next year, Oregon plays at Arizona, then here for UCLA. The journalist in you, could you ask for a better storyline?
Well, of course. Helfrich at Arizona. Or Helfrich taking over Arizona State. Don't the Ducks play them too?
Yeah, they play against Edwards as well.
There's always a better story. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. And the interesting thing is that, from what I understand, someone thought he had the job and didn't get it at Oregon. And so you're in a situation where you passed over a guy who's had some success, and people can point to his faults, but a lot of the faults and losses and not getting over the hump came in the toughest division, in the toughest conference on the planet. And so maybe he deserves benefit of the doubt there. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But he's definitely a great offensive coach, and he's definitely a great recruiter. So it'll be interesting to see if he can turn recruiting around down there in Arizona. Because right now they're living off, you know, a bunch of 3-star kids. They're hardly ever getting any 4-star kids. We'll see what he can do with that. But we all know what he did with Johnny Manziel. What's he going to do with Tate? That'll be interesting to see. But definitely I think it raises their profile a little bit. But let's not forget, their former coach, Rodriguez, was a damn good coach.
Yep.
Right? I mean, so it's not like, you know, we can guarantee it's an upgrade, But at least it's someone who's had some success who may be, might be able to make some noise down there. We'll see.
I want to wrap with an NFL thought. I mean, that Viking-Saints game just... crazy. The whiff from Marcus Williams, who had a great rookie year, and he handled it like a stand-up guy. But knowing what idiots fans can be, I mean, just how bad do you feel for that kid?
Oh, I feel super bad for him. Because to me, that was on the level of Buckner. If not worse.
That's a good one.
I'm serious.
I know.
Is it worse? I mean, because the Red Sox, that was game six. They still had a game seven. Like, people would say Buckner lost. Now, didn't Buckner, when he missed the ball, that led to the tie, that led to the win?
No, that was it. Ray Knight scored the winning run that led to game seven.
But it was already tied.
Right.
So if he fielded it
and beat Mookie Wilson to the bag, it still would have been tied.
Right. Okay. So you're tied in game six, which means you have a seven, as opposed to the last part of the NFC Championship game where there's not best two out of three. It's just that's one out of one. To me, that was worse, and it was surreal. I watched it 10 times. Like I was sitting there, I'm like, oh, last play, no big deal. And all of a sudden they score. My son, even my son, was like, "Oh my God, what had just happened?" And I watched it like 10 times. Like, what did that guy just do? It was the worst defensive play I've ever seen in my life. Like that anyone I think has ever seen. It was unbelievable. So yes, I feel horrible for him because that is going to live forever. That'll never be forgotten. That's going to start becoming like part of pop culture. Someone's going to come up with a name for it, and you're going to hear it in movies. You know, people refer to it as such a bonehead play. Watch.
And by the way, I know you've been known to make a wager or two, but if you were laying 5 points, I'm like, nobody's leaving until they kick that extra point.
Yeah. Is that what the line was, 5?
Yeah. My site had it as 5. I didn't bet that game, but I'll tell you, I'd have been on a plane. There's no way they're pulling that crap with me.
Yeah, the only way they don't kick the extra point is in overtime, right?
Right. Traditionally, said they had to bring punters out of the locker room to line up to take a knee. Now that there's nothing like it. All right, Mr. Fentress. Since I'm thinking we're gonna have to come visit you in the loony bin down the road with all that's gonna be on your plate. At this point, I'll just thank you for your time and wish you well.
Appreciate it.
All right, take it easy, Aaron.
All right, bye.
All right, Aaron Fentress, NBC Sports Northwest.